This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan Run Radio.
Today, we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue. It won't do.
Dance. Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and, candidly, a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Man, you guys are really on it today.
Welcome in! I can't believe you hit the button early. I mean, you hit it right, but I wasn't ready, so it's early. Welcome in to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville.
7:05.
Show starts at 7.
I'm talking about... If I'm not ready, then I'm not ready. You shouldn't be pointing and, like, turning the mic on.
What a diva.
Wow. I'm just like, can't. Those are the rules. Everyone knows the rules.
It took you like an hour to open up your headphone. You were just like, click, 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 click.
Did you have yours on? You've forgotten yours. You can sit here early.
I hooked mine up and got them on faster than you even opened yours.
Okay.
Take that.
All right.
Sorry, I got other things to do. I got to come in. I got to turn the cameras on.
I got to coming at you.
Make some coffee.
If Davey hadn't said anything, it'd have been fine.
That would have been fine.
No big deal. Yeah.
He likes to point out the mistakes.
It's not
what he lives for.
It's not like anything else was happening.
He lives for it.
This isn't a Tennessee football conversation right now, Houston.
No, it's just who you are as a person.
I think it's just rare that Davey's ready to go on a Monday morning like that.
Very rare.
He's ready to talk. All right, Davey Hudson, take it away.
No.
Oh, no.
No. No.
I can.
No.
No.
Give a weekend update.
You want to give us a weekend update? Is that it?
I mean, I was going to do it during the depot, but if you want
to
early.
We'd hate to rob the depot.
Yeah, no, we can't rob the depot. That would just be cruel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To who? Davey and Davey alone?
No, the people that would have to hear the depot now.
Ah. That's why we put it at 9.
Yeah. Make sure we're all good there. SEC Media Days in the books. Now we wait for the start of practice, Tennessee football front.
Yay. I'm excited about it.
It is kind of like a how you always think, Media Day starts college, and it's like, no, it really doesn't.
No, the lull right after Media Days. It's not long, but it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. But the media members were polled.
They were polled.
The results are in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the results?
And Davey and I were right.
Yeah, you are. Congratulations on being negative, but also correct.
Fifth in the East?
Fifth in the East.
Fifth.
no votes to win the East or the conference. South Carolina, however, did.
Got a vote to win the East.
I want to know who that was.
Shane Beamer must have really sold them during his news conference. Media
you can win the press conference, apparently.
And they're going to do it.
Did Missouri get any votes by any chance?
No.
They didn't get one?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
Somebody else
I just thought it was
Kentucky
funny.
Kentucky got two. Arkansas got one to win the West.
Was there one guy at Media Day just like, watch this, ha-ha.
There
I'm going to vote for Arkansas and South Carolina.
What was, is it, there was some, oh, Ole Miss got one. Yeah, it's like Ole Miss always got one vote, no matter what. It's like some guy always
really?
Picked Ole Miss just because. Alabama got 130. Texas A&M got one. LSU got one. Ole Miss got one. Arkansas got one.
On a positive note, I mean, at least Tennessee did get a first-team All-American. Or, I mean, first All-SEC team.
Our punter?
Cade Mays.
Oh, okay. Yep, that offensive line. Going to hold it down.
In the East, Georgia 124, Florida 7, Kentucky 2, South Carolina 1. Even though the Gamecocks finished behind Tennessee in the...
Right. Yeah. Not by much.
Hope springs eternal.
This has got to be, I mean, one of the more lopsided first place votes for, I mean, usually one division has more, a little more up in the air, I would think. Recently, it's been Alabama the favorite on the West, but in the East, a little more split, I would think. Like 124 for Georgia?
Fewer question marks.
Yeah.
They know who their quarterback is. I mean, they lost a bunch of receivers, but you know their defense is going to be good. Did I see that Alabama had, was it like five defensive players on the first team? Like all three preseason All-SEC first team linebackers are from Alabama.
On the offensive side, they had John Metchie III and Evan Neal, who's an offensive lineman. Let's see here. That's first team for the defense, which is a different. They had.
Henry Toa-Toa.
Yeah, he did get first team.
I know. Yeah.
Christian
Harris.
Are you
serious?
Yeah, you didn't know this?
First team?
I was waiting on him to read it, but yeah, Hank T, first team all SEC middle linebacker.
Wow, they had a defensive lineman, Fedarian Mathis on the DL. That's an Alabama player. Henry Toa-Toa, Christian Harris, and Will Anderson Jr., all three linebackers on first team were Alabama players. And then defensive backs, Josh Job and Malachi Moore. So, yeah, they had six first team.
Six.
Only half the starting lineup.
Slightly more, really.
Yeah.
And then on second team, they had LeBrian Ray defensively.
The rest of them.
Smoke Monday, Jordan Battle, and then third team, DJ Dell.
Wait. Smoke Monday?
Mm-hmm.
He plays for Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn.
Sorry, I meant to say Jordan Battle. Smoke Monday was right above him. The A's just kind of caught me because it goes Auburn, Alabama, Arkansas. I just misspoke.
Okay.
Yeah, like you're not used to seeing somebody other than an Alabama guy on these teams. So when you see one, it kind of throws you off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What was Hank T last year preseason? Did he make a? Did he make
did.
Like second team
he's
or something?
Second team.
He made something.
Now he's going to Bama. Yeah, best inside linebacker in the conference for sure. Knows the system.
They probably just watched that first game against South Carolina and saw the pick six, and then Tennessee just fell apart after. Or, no, they watched Georgia, and he had that great stop right before the half.
You got Nick Saban coaching him now.
And so now they're just like – then they tuned out because Tennessee just, like, fell off the face of the earth, and now they're like, oh, yeah, we'll start paying attention. I do remember those games that he made an impact.
He was second team last year.
Second
season.
Like I said, knows the system since
another
it's
year in
the same defense.
Another year in the system.
Yeah, that's – probably why he transferred there in the first place. Oh, good for Hank T. That's just great. That's awesome. I mean, truly. Fantastic. So, and Eric Gray, was he not voted like newcomer of the year in the Big 12? I think.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Newcomer of the year.
I did mention Cade
Mays. Projected.
Right. Yeah.
If you're curious as to if any other Tennessee players made the list, they did.
Not on first team.
Correct, but just, you know, it's nice to get mentioned. Alante Taylor, third team, and second team specialist, punter Paxton Brooks.
Take that.
Number 37.
Number 37.
Cut the deal. We'll work on the check. Cut the deal. We'll work on the check. Okay. Just, we're getting better. You can tell. Yep.
You buying this Kentucky hype?
No.
Third in the East?
Yeah, I mean, that's usually where they finished recently.
I don't know. Does that qualify as hype? I mean, their schedule's pretty easy. Do I think they're going to be particularly good, like when facing Florida and Georgia? No. Tennessee, probably going to beat them, hopefully. You know, in Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, they completely new offensive staff, offensive system, and they lost their quarterback. And I'm pretty sure they've still got a couple of decent running backs, but no. Sorry, I don't buy it.
I mean, like, they didn't finish third last year. They finished fourth behind Missouri. So I guess that's what I'm talking about. Like, they were worse than Missouri last year and get picked ahead of them. I don't know.
What? What'd you say?
It's just weird that it's like every year people think that they're going to be pretty good, and then they're not. Like, last year, it was the same thing. I mean, they were whatever.
Yeah, that's why I don't buy the hype. I never do.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't understand. I don't understand why the media thinks so highly of Kentucky.
I don't think it's that they think highly of Kentucky. I think they just don't think highly of everyone else that's behind them, which, I mean, as we've seen, is pretty much true.
Okay. No, I mean, I thought they'd at least consider Missouri ahead of them.
Maybe, but they like Mark Stoops.
I think it's
I mean, is he not the longest tenured head coach in the SEC outside of Saban at this point?
Maybe.
Has to be, right?
Right, yeah.
Yes, it was Gus.
I think there's this notion that because Kentucky's normally so awful that he's done such a great job because they're not completely awful. It's just like, okay.
I mean, I guess you get some credit for that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, yeah, some.
He's probably a prime example of the fans that just say, you got to give a coach time.
I mean, at a place like Kentucky, yeah. I don't think Tennessee fans would want to wait. I mean, how long's he been there?
Well,
like 11, 12 years?
I mean, some fans would. Some fans, like, you can't convince them. Granted, they look at it from a lens of the 1970s to where it's like they'll see what happened with Johnny Majors and thinking that it took him several years to get Tennessee up to date. And so they do view it as you can't build a program, which I would say you can't be. Yeah, you can't have the stability if you constantly turn over coaches every 2 or 3 years, but you can have a good program doing that. It's just a matter of finding the right coach.
Yeah, and if you lose good coaches, replace them with good coaches. That's the problem here, though. We don't really lose good coaches.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I mean, that's
we
the
just
argument.
Hire them. They stink. We have to fire them. Then we try to find a good one, and it hadn't really worked out.
Yeah, no coach we've had since, yeah, I mean, Dooley, Butch, Pruitt, none of them have ever been better off after they've left here.
No.
I mean, two of them are likely never to have a head coaching job again. Derek Dooley and Jeremy Pruitt.
I'd say 0% chance on those two. And Butch is at the second poorest football program in the country.
And it's only because he was an intern for Saban for several years, and people just probably are like,
yeah, why not?
Oh, the shine might rub off, which it won't. It never does.
What do you mean, what shine?
Just the Saban rehabilitation plan. It's like, oh, well, he's got that shine of he was able to work with Nick Saban. So that must mean he's got something going for him. We'll give him a shot.
Big mistake. Huge.
Well, I guess we'll get to find out pretty early. Missouri travels to Kentucky on week two, Saturday, September 11th.
Missouri at Kentucky?
Missouri at Kentucky.
All right, there you go. There you go. Congratulations to United States men's national team. Big 1-0 win over Jamaica. Huge, Nate. I know you were locked into that one. Gonna guess not.
Did our rugby team win yesterday?
I would have been, but just doing some other things last night.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah?
Yep.
Was it touch and go for a while, or did we score late or early, or, you know, since you were so...
Something like that. One of those.
On the, you know...
Yeah, it was actually the 83rd minute.
On your P's and Q's. Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Just wait.
I thought about betting on that game, but or that match, but decided against it.
Matthew Hopp, I think is how you say it.
Yeah.
Could be Hoppy. Could be Hope. Hopey. But anyway, yeah, 83rd minute.
Mm.
Big sports weekend for sure.
Did you?
I was locked into all the sports.
You?
No, no.
Did you watch
No, I told you. It's the week after media days, man. I didn't know.
Did you watch the men's 4x100 meter freestyle relay last night?
Absolutely not.
It was late.
How'd we do?
Oh, we won.
Oh, we did?
We did. We were the favorites, but
okay, good.
Took care of business.
Because I did see this was the first time that the United States did not medal on the first day of the Olympics.
No, it's made no matter. We are number one in the medal count.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, 14. 7 gold.
The front
three
breaststroke
silver,
race was
bronze.
A nail biter.
The front breaststroke race.
Yeah, that's what it's called, isn't it? The really weird swimming position.
Front breaststroke?
I think it's just breaststroke. Unless you're thinking
of butterfly. I think
you're
butterfly. Thinking of the butterfly.
No, I don't think this was the butterfly.
Well, the butterfly was separated first through fourth by 0.14 seconds.
Incredible. Maybe it was, but they looked like dolphins to me.
Yeah, that's butterfly.
No, you're thinking of the butterfly.
I swear I could swim faster than that.
Yeah, Hickman, I bet you could. You're probably right, yeah.
Going so slow.
Yeah, those Olympic athletes, super slow. That's a great point. Yeah.
Like, it's hard to get into a race when they're just...
I love how you're watching
the
Olympics and saying, what the hell are they doing? Yeah. Hickman's there on his couch eating beaver nuggets. Like, look how slow they're going. I could swim faster than this. Yeah. That's a good observation, Hickman. Yeah. You probably could. Just... in your hoodie and everything, just dive right in there and just win some gold medals. That was one of the best things. Look how slow they're going in the Olympics. Like the fastest.
It's like I could help out my country, but it's just kind of a burden on me at this point.
Didn't really want to go travel after the pandemic, so I just decided to sit here, do morning radio, eat beaver nuggets, and make fun of Olympic athletes when they swim. Yep.
I saw somebody say we finished third in skateboarding. Which just means it's sad.
That is sad.
Yeah, it's a medal. It's all that matters is the medal count.
Really?
This is the first year they've had skateboarding.
I couldn't remember if this was... This is? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that was probably our idea, too. You would think we'd be good at that.
I still got a medal.
I know. But I want the gold. Gotta have gold. Are we in the front for the gold medal count?
Tied with Japan. 7-7.
Home field advantage.
China.
Yeah, exactly.
China has 6.
Did
the
they
judges,
include Taiwan
the
in
judges.
There? Because if so, that doesn't count.
Trixie dud judges.
Did you see what happened there? Like, I'll get political real quick, but they didn't put the Taiwan flag in their tweet, and they put everyone else's flag. Mm-hmm. Japan didn't want to upset their neighbors to the west. It's sad, really. We should just start calling China West Taiwan.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Who is they in the tweet?
Like the Olympic Committee.
And they didn't feature Taiwan's flag?
No.
And it couldn't have been just a mistake?
Well, they would have left it out and put all the other 4 participants' flags up there.
4 participants?
I think it was 1 through 4 is what they had. So, sorry, they put 3 flags up and they left 1 out. I'll find the tweet.
Okay. Well, that's what I mean, I didn't know if they listed like 57 flags and theirs was left out or what. Yeah, figure that out and then bring it back. USA basketball, first Olympic defeat since 2004. Greg Popovich, what the hell are you doing?
Most overrated coach of all time.
I'm not going to say that, but what the hell is he doing?
He's only good when he has foreign players.
He didn't have a lot.
Damian Lillard said, they're completely different when they play for their countries on NBA players.
Yeah, it's
Team
funny.
USA's
yeah.
Lost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how other players play harder when playing for their country.
Uh-huh.
And we just don't. I mean, we got, you know.
We're just happy to
like
be
like Kevin Durant. I mean, I'm not knocking Kevin Durant necessarily. I mean, he had 10 points.
Okay.
10 points for Kevin Durant in the Olympics against France.
Real quick, the Tokyo 2020 Olympic account, which is verified, tweeted out the judo standings, and they actually had two guys tied for third. Mm-hmm. So that's why there were four participants up there. Mm-hmm. And so when they listed first place, put the country's flag, which was Japan. Second place, a guy from Taiwan, they just left it blank. Then they put the flags for the guys that tied in third. So you saw the outrage, and it just said congratulations to everyone, but they, of course, left that off.
Just the flag emoji?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
What do you mean?
Who cares?
Well, it's the Olympics. You're supposed to not be worried about the political theater around it. I take it you're not very familiar with the Taiwan situation then, are you?
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not. I'll gladly admit that.
Okay. Well, basically, China's pretty much just trying to take over territory and claim that Taiwan is China. And the people of Taiwan do not want that to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And so now the political nature of it.
Okay, that's where I got confused, because I thought you were talking about, like, Taiwan and Japan, but Japan, you're just saying they don't want to upset China.
Yes.
So they're just, okay.
They're
okay.
Ignoring the country that finished up there to appease their neighbors to the west.
Foster says Taiwan had their flag banned from the Olympics.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And that would make sense. That's why it wasn't in the tweet.
Yep.
Flag ban. That'll show them.
So much weird stuff, like the Russian Olympic Committee. It's like
ROC.
Russia, like Russia. You can't be in the Olympics, but all your athletes can. Like what?
Yeah. What? How about Popovich though?
Yeah.
Have we won a game?
We won. We dropped our first two, then we won the third one we played, and I guess that's kind of like,
was it Nigeria, Australia, and now France?
Yeah.
We beat Spain.
Spain. Okay, good.
Did you see what the Reddit college football account put out?
No.
No.
They compared the men's national team to Tennessee Athletics.
I saw that.
I saw a little bit of that, and I got so mad because I knew it was just a big dunk, and I just kept scrolling.
Reactions to Team USA basketball feeling a little familiar. And then they post.
I saw the first one was the Georgia State score.
Yeah, this team hasn't played together before. Nigeria just got lucky. Nothing to worry about. The next game was BYU. All right, sure, Australia looks good, but it's just an exhibition. It's meaningless. Then Tennessee versus Chattanooga. See, we beat Spain. Another gold medal is just around the corner. And then finally it was Florida, 34-3. Murdy.
Murdy?
Yeah.
That means.
And then they said, before you haters call USA basketball wash, Tennessee finished 2019 on a 6-game win streak, so if they can turn it around, so can we.
6 straight probably get you a gold medal, right?
Did any of you guys see Luka's stat line in his Olympic debut?
No, was it filthy?
48 points, right?
48 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then my favorite response was some guy said, as a member of the SEC, I will not let you bully our friends around. And it was an Oklahoma account.
Ah, yes. Conference pride.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to the benefit of both conferences for 4 years now, I guess, right?
I don't think they care about the Big 12 since it's likely to fold.
Well, yeah, but like they could still like, Big 12, look, we're still here. Good things are happening.
They can pick and choose, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if Oklahoma wins the, NCAA tournament or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, look at that. Big 12 and SEC. Hang the banner. I guess that would be a Sankey decision. He'll probably have to figure that out. Like, how many national championships the SEC claims.
Right, yeah.
It's like, well, they weren't in, but yeah. They weren't out.
Right.
If I had to guess, Sankey.
Man. Big gold medal game tomorrow, Houston. Women's softball. Could be Monica Abbott on the mound, you know.
Starter?
Trying to close it out. They've used her both ways.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
I saw that they brought her in to close out the other night.
One in stripes wanted me to you know, mention that. I do have...
Greatest college pitcher of all time.
I do have two bets riding on USA softball winning the gold medal. I'm also undefeated in my swimming bets so far.
Undefeated.
Dude, they don't have, like, every race up there on FanDuel, yeah, but they've got a lot.
You been betting any handball?
I have not bet any handball. Oh. But when, you know, when your swimmer turns, makes that last turn, headed for home, oh, it's electric.
Jared said the biggest Olympic story so far was Katie Ledecky losing her first ever Olympic swim race.
I missed that. Was that, that must have been last night.
Not sure. Very sad.
I didn't have money on that one.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but since the 37 did, I also attribute USA basketball team's downfall to not having the greatest coach of all time leading the way.
Right. That bodes very well for Duke, if that's your stance.
I mean, it helps. Coach K always got a gold medal. Doesn't look like that's going to be happening now that he's gone.
No, I'm just saying, once he's out at Duke, that doesn't bode well for the future of the program.
Mm-hmm. I feel all right.
Step back.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm
sure that's what everybody said about USA basketball. It's like, oh, I feel all right. We got all these great players. They're going to be fun.
No, like, I...
And now you're like, he's not there, so we stink.
As you guys know, I'm a realist. Popovich. I am a realist when it comes to sport. Duke will not be the same. They will not be at the same level once he retires. I do think John Shire can stable the ship, and they'll be a good program. Hmm. Well, when the captain goes overboard, so to speak, you know, you got to...
He's not dead. He's just retiring.
I know, but it's still, like, in the grand scheme of things, you're losing...
Did you say he goes overboard?
I'm just saying, like,
could he have just not gotten in a smaller boat and gone to shore?
Fine, terrible analogy. If you're wanting to get into the semantics of it,
even if they die, they don't go overboard. The captain goes down with the ship. They don't just
the captain dying
jump.
Doesn't mean the ship always sinks.
Right, but the captain doesn't jump overboard.
He's older. He can't pull the ropes as good, and so he has to walk the plank, according to Davey.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Just take him.
When he goes overboard.
We'll go back to Marseille and just drop you off. It'll be fine. No. Walk the plank. Get eaten by the sharks. You can't captain the boat anymore. You're no good to us. Fish food. When the captain goes overboard. Good God. Just, there should be a dinghy there, and he just rows the boat to shore.
No, I use that for any time a coach is leaving the program. It
you say
matter.
the coach goes overboard. Yep. You know, that's a very famous Davey saying. I've heard it numerous times.
Dooley went overboard. Butch went overboard.
Now those
Brewitt
guys
went overboard.
Those guys really
well,
did go
overboard.
That's
what
that's
I'm saying.
Different.
I mean, yeah, Fulmer went overboard twice. Like.
There was a mutiny. Coach K just, you know, he's got some arthritis. He can't turn the.
You know, we dropped him off at the port.
Roy Williams went overboard.
No. They gave
Jim
him
Calhoun went overboard.
Yeah, he maybe did go overboard. But no, like Roy and Kay, they get in the boat and they just, you know, back to the mainland. Probably got a nice little cottage on some bay where they can look at the water but not have to worry about driving the big ships. Because now the sailors are getting paid. It's going to be more difficult to recruit new sailors. So they just said, not doing this. Peace out.
None of them had to change their philosophy at all.
Yeah, the NIL stuff. It was gonna muddy the waters, make it too difficult.
They all already cheat.
I know, but they had the book on how to cheat like this. But now that the rules change, it's like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm getting old anyway. I really don't want to have to learn a new system. It's natural. It is what it is. Davey has an update for us on the other side about Oklahoma and Texas.
All right. Sounds good. Lots more to get into. I mean, this women's gymnastics team, Houston, did not look good in qualifying.
Is that right?
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Yeah, apparently the
Ariane Titmus.
U.S. women's gymnastics team.
Not looking good.
Second in, wow, they're fine. Second in qualifying. Biles made the final.
Naturally.
Though, and dope. Apparently, you know, I think the top two make the all around, and then they have the individual event finals.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy that like picks the team, instead of picking like at least like one specialist that's like the best at one event, mm-hmm. but might not be as good all around,
right?
Went with just the top four all around gymnasts,
hmm.
thinking it just wouldn't even really matter for the team competition because they've been so dominant. But they finished second. Like if that had been the final, they would have been
silver medal.
But mm-hmm. it'll reset, and you know.
Well, that's good.
But yeah, like I think Biles like stepped out of bounds on the mat thing. Three steps on her beam landing. It's just a whole mess.
Oh man, really off her game.
Uh-huh. Still finished first.
I know. But you gotta widen the gap. Maybe I don't know. Thanks for setting up that awesome tease for the A&M Oklahoma conversation, or Texas Oklahoma. A&M was a big part of the conversation. Dave, what is the latest on the Longhorns and Sooners? Did the Big 12 lure them back?
Well, there have been conversations between certain presidents of other Big 12 institutions that are not Texas and Oklahoma, as well as Commissioner Bob Bowlesby. But the latest is that Texas and Oklahoma are still planning on informing the Big 12 today their intentions to leave the conference and not renew their TV rights deal whenever that is set to expire by the end
of
2025.
You kind of slid in the most important thing today, Nate. Today.
Today?
They're going to let the Big 12 know today.
Yes.
You know, last week it was, oh, yeah, in a couple of weeks, right. perhaps. Now it's, yeah, we're going to go ahead and just do this thing.
According to multiple reports, there were conversations that the Big 12 were willing to give Texas and Oklahoma a larger revenue share.
Mm-hmm.
Another half share, right? That's what I read.
Mm-hmm.
So they crunched the numbers and said, nope, not going to work. Not good enough.
Seems to be the case.
Makes sense. I mean, if you just look at revenues, it's those two, and then what did I say? You got to go to like 29 or something before you get to the next Big 12 team?
Yes.
The SEC, I think, had
1-7 were Texas and Oklahoma, and then you go all the way to 29, which would have been Kansas State, according to the article you were looking at, and I believe Oklahoma State was 30th.
Oklahoma State, 30th. Kansas State, 29th. Well done. Nice recall there. Yeah, and at that point, assuming you add Texas and Oklahoma, I think that would give the SEC, what was it?
I believe 7 of the top 10 outside of Ohio
State,
Michigan, and Notre Dame.
It was 7 of the top 10, but I think it was like 12 or 13 of the top 22.
13 of the top 30, I believe. I thought there was one that was basically Vanderbilt's like that.
Vanderbilt's
there.
Last, and then like Missouri was really low. But you have Ole Miss at 22. Anyway, I mean, the SEC, it's not even close.
One of the things we haven't talked about as it relates to Tennessee, if this move were to go through, now,
seems like a foregone conclusion at this point.
Yeah, there still is the conversation to be had about other schools leaving, joining other conferences, and trying to build a power there to where you're mm-hmm. like, oh, well, we have 16 teams in either the ACC, Big Ten, or the Pac. 12 or whatever you would like to call it at that point. But the revenue share would be so much larger. Granted, you're still competing against other schools that have the same amount of money, but you'd have a lot more money to go out and buy coaches. Not necessarily just for football, I mean, but like when you're competing for other sports, like the SEC is going to have a lot more money than these other programs to go out and get whoever they
want.
Well,
with the new deal, they were going to pass the Big Ten anyway. So your individual schools in the SEC annually were going to get more money than all the schools in the Big Ten, and now this is just going to raise that even more.
But unfortunately, like when you take a step back and look at it, like money's not been the option for Tennessee. They just go bargain shopping every time.
Yes and no. I mean, I do remember I mean, wasn't the athletic department like bankrupt that one year under Butch? Like, we had to borrow millions of dollars from. I mean, I know we're better off now, but we still don't have nearly as much in the coffers as some of the other schools. So
we were.
I definitely
red,
think this will help
at some
us.
Point under Dooley.
It was like Dooley and Butch, yeah. And like Butch year two or three, we had to borrow money from academics, and then we paid it back. And I mean, that's what, you know, that bonus, I guess we'll call it, that the SEC, or maybe they call it a buyout, that was money they borrowed as a conference against the future TV deal.
But it went away because the SEC network became a thing. And once that happened, that's when we were fine financially.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying now it's going to be even more. I mean, it already was going to be the most lucrative television deal in collegiate sports history. And now if you were to add A&M and Oklahoma, because when was that supposed to go through? Is that about the same year? Is it 2024?
Yeah, so I mean, they could get out a little bit earlier. It'd cost some money, but the deal ends in 2025, so I think that was.
So it would end basically as A&M and yeah, they're going to renegotiate that bad boy. Like, if you're the SEC, I mean, how many more? Think about just adding those two teams. Think about how many more just huge games that gives you in a given year.
It'd be fun. I mean, there's a lot to be worked out as far as how they would do the schedule. But I'm still under the notion that if you're going to have this super conference, you need to make it to where you can at least kind of go through these schools more often than not. Like, yeah. I don't want it to be you get to play this school once every 6 years.
Yeah, they got to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
I realize, you know, you can't do it where you play everyone every year, especially if you go to 16 teams. But I think 9 conference games is coming sooner rather than later, and they need to work out a better rotation. They just have to. I mean, did you see the break? Was it the SEC Network that tweeted out the latest breakdown? Like pod, I think they called it the North Pod. It was Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
See, the biggest thing is they keep. And I understand the thought process behind it because the brain has been conditioned from a geography standpoint, just as that's how you look at it. Because as we talked about last week, it started off as a regional thing as to why you're with certain teams, but they keep thinking, oh, well, this makes sense when I just look at a map. But again, it's not going to be that way at the end of the day. They're going to try to find a competition level.
Well,
that's somewhat consistent.
It's because of the, I mean, talk about geography. I mean, they named them the East and the West. Like if they were Division 1 and 2, no one would really even care. Like, you could just, A&M's in it, and so's Florida. Like, it wouldn't matter. But I think you call them East and West, and people get that. Well, where's the center line, and how is this team, if they're West of, you know, no, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Need a good equator guy.
Yeah, that's why you go leaders and legends. Oh. No. What do we go? Earth, fire, wind, water. Mm-hmm. Even that.
I mean,
we did a pretty good job, though.
You still could have just done.
But even that, we kind of grouped
west,
them.
East, Midwest, and Central.
Well, I know, but we're trying to get away from directional. Because people will be like, how are we in the Central when we're east of the. You know, people whatever. You'd have a team in the East that's further west and a team in the Central, and everybody would get confused. You know, it's just. Yeah. You know,
final
it's a mess.
Segment, hour number one, Monday edition, 3 and Out. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back. Final segment, hour number one. I think the biggest news over the weekend on the expansion front was the reaction from Texas A&M.
They leaked the story, they throw a little fit, and then they get into a room with the big boys, and they come out, and they said, okay, we're sorry.
We're good.
Did we give them the Nebraska treatment? It's like, hey, you're new to the conference, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Because
that's kind of what it felt like. They're like, you keep putting up a fight, we're just going to kick you out and add them anyway. Your vote won't count. Okay, we'll shut up.
They threw a little hissy fit, but think they're all of a sudden it was just like statement from this person, statement from this person.
Yeah, Bjork said the culture of an athletic conference is a priority for us. And 10 years ago when we joined the SEC, that was the culture we were after. Collaboration, equality, and competition. He likes the equality. Which makes sense. Because at the time when he was, you know, A&M wasn't getting as big of a cut as Texas and Oklahoma. But they also weren't adding as much as those two. Although A&M, in fairness, I don't want to say they came from, like, out of nowhere. But, I mean, it's like all of a sudden A&M, I don't know if it was because they joined the conference or if I mean, they're 12th nationally now in program rankings as far as, you know, monetary value. $101 million in revenues. Whatever that means exactly. But, I mean, they updated the stadium. They went out and got Jimbo at $7.5 million a year. Like, they've obviously got the money to spend.
Yep.
I saw.
They got in line real quick.
Yeah, and initially, A&M was, like, behind closed doors. They were saying, yeah, two teams from the same state in the same conference. It just doesn't make sense. Hmm. And it was like, do you know where Auburn is? It's in Alabama. You know where Vanderbilt is? It's in Tennessee. Do you know where Mississippi State and Ole Miss are? Mississippi. I don't know why they wouldn't want this. Like, does it really hurt A&M if Texas is in the SEC? Like, in what way? Like, it's more money. I mean, I feel like recruiting against Texas, saying that you're in the SEC and they're not, I don't think that's a particularly strong argument. Like, Texas is Texas. They're always going to be, you know, they're going to recruit well. And if a kid has his eyes on Texas, I don't see very many situations where, yeah, I was going to go to Texas. It was my lifelong dream, but they weren't in the SEC. So I went to Texas A&M. Now, maybe if it's just, you know, my top five is Alabama, Texas, and Oklahoma, maybe at that point you side with, you know, Alabama because they're Alabama. But, I don't think it's because they're in the SEC.
I don't think that's the way to look at it. I do just think it's A&M would lose some of their shine if they're playing second fiddle in their own state again.
But aren't they still kind of doing that? I mean, they are playing second fiddle, but it's like they're not really compared to Texas because they're in a different conference. But they're doing well financially. Like, I don't know. I don't like that argument. I don't think it made a lot of sense. Now, Oklahoma State, I'd be livid.
I mean,
to lose Oklahoma.
Yeah, with Jimbo Fisher, as long as he's there, I would still think that they would be better than Texas if they were to play for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just going to project, like, the next 3 or 4 years, I mean, I think A&M's in a stronger position right now than Texas. Now, we'll see how Sarkisian does. Mm-hmm. He's a good offensive coach. Can he stay off the bottle?
Doesn't this move, though, make it a lot harder for Texas to get, quote-unquote, back?
That's a good question.
I mean, if you want to move to the SEC, you figured you'd want to have reestablished kind of your glory days before you make the move.
And maybe that's what they, you know, are hoping they can do in the next 3 years of Sarkisian before, you know, making the move. But that's the question I brought up last week. Like, if you're the Big 12, yes, you want Texas and Oklahoma to be really good for the next 3 years, get to the playoffs and, you know, make your conference more money, but you also don't want them to be two juggernauts and then you lose them out the door.
I know football's key, but if you do look at it, Texas, they won the Director's Cup, which was the first year that somebody not named Stanford's won it in over 20-something years. Mm. So there are other factors outside of just football.
Yeah, but if in 3 years from now they're running Sarkisian out of there, it's going to be a tough road ahead for the Longhorns.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be a tough hire. It's like, you couldn't get back in the Big 12. Now you're in the SEC.
Well, again, it's...
But then maybe Saban's gone at that point. Who knows?
And also, you have to look at the fact that the playoffs expanding if we're just going at it from a football standpoint. So you don't necessarily say I have to win the SEC, but can I at least finish fourth in the SEC?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, man, like, if the conference goes to 9 games and readjust the schedule, like, I don't think the SEC is going to have a team go, you know, undefeated or 11-1 in the regular season every year.
And I agree with that. I mean,
and that might knock you down, like, as far as seeding in the playoffs a little bit, but I still don't think it'll matter. I still think they're going to be the better teams. We're just going to cannibalize each other a little bit. Where it gets a little messy is, you know, that 12 spot, like a team in the SEC that's probably good enough to get to the playoff and maybe even make a run, but because the SEC, you know, even at, like you said, that 4-6 area is so good, they lose a late game, don't make the playoff, but they were definitely good enough to be in there.
Now let's go to the phone lines. 865-546-8200 is the number to join the program. We got DR Vol up first. What's up, DR? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, you know, last week I was on vacation, and I finally about got caught up on the shows I've missed. And I have a strong request, if I can make one.
Yes, of course. Anything
you
want.
Can we please stop saying it can't get any worse? I know, like, that's from a show from, like, last Tuesday or Wednesday, man. But I've been thinking that for 10 years, and I don't think I can take it anymore. I'm coming to y'all on bended knee.
Well, there's only one person you really need to convince to stop saying that.
Does me saying it, like, make it happen? Like, what do I have, like, the opposite effect on reality?
Houston,
it can get worse. It can get so much worse. It will get worse.
Oh, I expect it to. But I don't know when you said it, if it was my pancreas shutting down from the I had sea salt caramel beaver nuggets. Oh, you saying it for my PTSD. But it was one of the two, man. I don't think I can take it. Even I know you said, I think it was Greg McElroy that said it, but I will be sending a strong email to him as well. I don't think I can take it because when we say
he did
that,
say that. He said that's the one. He said that's the best news for Tennessee fans is Josh Heupel is taking over at rock bottom. There's only one way to go. Those were his words exactly.
Yeah, but when we don't take that self-imposed bowl ban and JG lights up for about 500 yards in the bowl game, I think that'll be what shuts my whole body down, Houston.
Okay, but that would be better because we wouldn't have the bowl ban.
You want to talk about a program that's battling with a lot right now, Washington State, man. Their fan base is split.
On who, JG?
Why?
Nick Rolovich.
I know, I was kidding. I don't think we mentioned the Rolovich thing last week.
Their head coach has refused to take the vaccine, and so there's a bunch of people calling for him to be fired.
So they're saying he doesn't have the heart of a lion, Davey?
Something along those lines.
All right, guys, that's my request. You have a good day.
You got it. I'll do my best. I'll do my best. It's not your fault, DR. It's not your fault. It's not. It's not your fault. Yeah, I guess we probably need to get into that. The Rolovich situation, I mean, did you read his press release? Like his statement? We'll get into that because the NFL's got some issues now too. Biggins. People aren't happy.
Mm-hmm. Training camp starts this week.
Yeah. Did you see the wristband thing?
Yeah.
That's
Is that for every team, or I just saw Steelers?
It's definitely the Steelers. But didn't I read the Steelers are among the most vaccinated team?
Correct.
Are they the most vaccinated team?
I think so.
I mean, we saw the report over the weekend that guys looking to get free agent deals, if you haven't been vaccinated, the NFL is basically saying, like, yeah, don't bring them on your team.
We can get into it.
Yeah,
more,
we need
but
to because
like,
it's a long conversation. Depending on what you believe, like, you're not going to like all of it.
Yeah, but that was something to kind of discuss as far as if you're a free agent that's going to be on the back end of a roster, if you're not vaccinated, the team's pretty much just saying no thanks. Like, mm-hmm. We'll find somebody else. From a business standpoint, it makes sense to actually say no, based off the repercussions.
I know. Yeah, especially when they're talking about your entire team losing their game checks. I mean, the revenue loss. I mean, it's clear what the NFL has prioritized. They're masking it, forgive the pun, but the NFL's doing what the NFL always does, and that is make a boatload of cash. And if you don't like the way they're doing things, you can scat and get out of here.
We'll come back, kick off hour number two. Stick with us right here on Three and Out.